there wasn't a baseball show we liked, so we made one. This is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, while we've got the NHL trade deadline in our rearview mirror, Kevin Barker looking ahead in about 2 hours' time. First pitch from Dunedin, the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees. First of three games. The weather's gorgeous in Dunedin. We've got the monitor there. Randall Grichuk doing an interview with somebody. I can't remember her name. Which you will see on Blue Jay Central. The Blue Jays, of course, had their game against the Angels rained out yesterday, thereby making it the best Tanner Roark start in Blue Jays history. It was. Tell me that you didn't think when that, I mean, when the heavens opened up and it, when it rained like a son of a, you know what, tell me that you didn't think that somebody, whether it was Charlie Montoyo or Mark Shapiro, used up one of their chits with the baseball gods. Tell me that you didn't think that that wasn't the case, that maybe somebody, maybe you, Mr. or Mrs. Blue Jays fan, went out and lit a candle yesterday to have that game rained out. So no Tanner Roark. We will get Robbie Ray tonight. Let's give the folks a lineup, shall we? Because God knows all we've been talking about is hockey. For the New York Yankees, DJ LeMahieu leading off, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, Gio Urshela, Clint Frazier, Rougned Odor, Kyle Higashioka, Mike Tauchman, Garrett Cole on the mound. Aaron Hicks not in the lineup, and this is a quote from manager Aaron Boone. With all that is going on in Minneapolis, he's having a tough time right now, and I certainly support that. The situation is heartbreaking right now in Minneapolis, and it has hit Aaron particularly hard. Aaron Hicks, formerly of the Minnesota Twins, and the Twins game tonight against the Boston Red Sox has been canceled, as has the Minnesota Wild game, and I believe the Minnesota Timberwolves game as well have been canceled as a result of yet another police shooting in the Twin Cities area. So that game has been canceled, and Aaron Hicks, who, as I mentioned, played in Minnesota, not in the lineup tonight. Aaron Boone citing that as the reason for that. An interesting lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin Barker. Marcus Semien leading off, Bo Bichette hitting second, Vladdy's hitting third and at first, Randall Grichuk's in center field, Kevin Biggio hitting fifth and playing third. It's only the third time in his Blue Jays career that he has started a game batting fifth. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. in left field. Rowdy Tellez looking to get off the schneid. He is the DH. Alejandro Kirk is behind the plate. Josh Palacios in right field. So a lot to get to, Mr. Barker. We'll talk about that beatdown of the Angels on Saturday. But let's look ahead to this game, to tonight's game. Robbie Ray, Garrett Cole, your thoughts on the Blue Jays lineup. Why, oh, why, oh, why is Kevin Biggio hitting fifth?
I don't know. You have to ask somebody a little smarter than me. You look at stats. He is 2-for-11 with 7 strikeouts against Garrett Cole. That's almost about as no chance as you're going to get. I know he's got 3 RBIs against Garrett Cole. Look, the what's the one issue that Kevin Biggio has, the elevated heater? What does Garrett Cole like to do early in counts and to put guys away, elevate the heater? You know, until Kevin Biggio against that one guy can go up and say, I'll give you that. I'm not going to swing at that. How dare you? You strike me out 3 times looking on that pitch. Okay, I tip my hat, walk away to fight another day.
Mm-hmm.
Until he actually goes up and makes an adjustment and says, I can't hit it. I'm not going to try and hit it. Go up and look down early in a count. Look for something middle of the way, hard. You know, when Garrett Cole's got the fastball slider combination working and can sprinkle in the curveball and the changeup. Now, he doesn't throw a ton of sliders to Kevin Biggio, and he's not going to do that to Rowdy Tellez either because of the natural bat path is that little uppercut, and that slider will go down and into it. But he will elevate the heater, and he will go away with it, you know, 97 to a hundo, and he will sprinkle in that good changeup, a little bit of run to it. Now, he doesn't have a ton of sink to it. It's just basically to get you off the fastball so he can elevate it, and he will sprinkle in the breaking ball against the lefty. But you got to have a good approach. I'll give you a stat.
Give me a stat.
Line up for the Blue Jays have 66 at-bats against Garrett Cole. They have 29 strikeouts. I said 29 strikeouts. You want a chance against Garrett Cole? Now, since 2018, guess who leads baseball in strikeouts, Jeff? Yeah, I'll answer the question for you. Garrett Cole, he has 68 more than Scherzer and DeGrom. 717 strikeouts since 2018. Look, if you have any chance, now I know they had a pretty good plan against him the last time, and his slider wasn't working. And against the Orioles, his next start, the slider was real good. That fastball slider thing against a right-handed dominant lineup versus the Blue Jays, what do you do against that? You can't look for sliders. So don't even think you're going to walk up and say, oh, I'm going to look for it. No. That's not going to work. So what do you do now? Putting the ball in play, that's a start. You know, don't try and go outside the box. You don't face a whole lot of Gerrit Cole's, if any.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be making crazy mechanical changes, because that means that'll carry over to games after Gerrit Cole, and then you're going to get yourself in a slump, and it can be real hard to get out of it. So how do you put the ball in play? You know, the Yankees' defense is not great. It's average at best.
No, as a matter of fact, they've it's interesting. We'll be joined by Susan Waldman, one of the voices of the Yankees, later on in the show. But yep, There's a lot of chatter in New York about Gleyber Torres and his defense.
What do you do with it?
Well, I mean, I think they've mishandled. This guy should be the third baseman in that team. He should have been the third baseman. I think they've completely mishandled him.
That's when you spend most of your money on DJ LeMahieu and you have a tough time going out and getting.
And Gio Urshela has been good, but I'm saying Gleyber Torres is your best prospect. Anyhow.
Well, the shortstop they probably should have got went to the other place in New York.
Yes.
So it's getting back to the Blue Jays lineup.
Yes.
How do you put the ball in play? You know, you're not trying to hit it to a certain part of the field. You're just trying to put barrel to baseball. Well, how do you do that? Do you look middle of the way? That's about where he's going to go. He's going to go middle of the way to get ahead of you. He's going to start the slider, the same tunnel, the same plane as the fastball. He'll get it to run down in a way. That's how he gets the crazy swing from the right-handed batter. And again, he'll
sprinkle. What are you doing? Are you swinging early?
I'm looking fastball middle of the way, and I'm just trying to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to hit it to a certain part of the ballpark. I'm just trying to hit it. Again, it's 97 to 100
mm-hmm.
with the slider. Again, you don't face these guys a whole ton of. And, you know, you're what's better than him? Jacob DeGrom? Max Scherzer? You know, they're once in a blue moon, you're facing these kind of guys. So you just simplify it. You walk to the – is the lineup good enough to do that? Is Marcus Semien good enough just to shorten up and look middle away and drive a ball up the middle? Is Kevin Biggio, like I mentioned, good enough to lay off the heater up? Can Randall Grichuk, stay hot the way he is and use the two-strike approach?
Yeah,
that's going to be a good test for him. You know, they're coming off some confidence, scoring the 15 runs. You know, they didn't hit a home run. So they were hitting doubles. You know, it looked like Bo was his takes were a lot better. He's still a little jabby with the front foot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his takes are sometimes he's got the little fall off. You know, he's got the big giant swing right now. I'll tell you, he's not seeing the ball, you know, all that great.
Yeah, Bo had a couple of doubles.
He did.
Saturday, we're talking about the 15-1 win over the Angels. We mentioned they did not play. They did not play yesterday. We should walk folks through some of the roster moves that were made by the Jays because there was a COVID, I don't know if I'd necessarily call it a COVID outbreak, but when we left on Friday, the Jays were dealing with COVID-related issues. And Teoscar Hernandez is still in COVID protocol. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has been activated from the COVID-related injured list. He and Ryan Borucki were among a group of players to get their COVID vaccines. Both of them were feeling a little under the weather after that. Gurriel Jr. actually took sick during the game. But he has now been activated from the COVID-related injured list. Santiago Espinal has been optioned to the club's alternate training site. And Joel Piamps has been optioned to the club's alternate training site. And this is, look, Santiago Espinal, we've talked about this. They're going with Joe Panik because he's a left-handed bat, and they think that they like the fact that he can play third base, I think, a little better than Espinal.
Really?
That's what I'm saying. But I think most of us, and I do believe this with Santiago Espinal, Kevin Barker, that once George Springer's back, I don't think you need Jonathan Davis as your extra outfielder. So my thinking is you make a move with a pitcher to keep Santiago Espinal up here. Because I think you got to have one of those two in the team just in case you play a 10th inning game. To me, you've got to have one of those two. one of those two.
Yeah, and I'd rather have Espinal playing short than Marcus Semien right now. I don't want Marcus Semien going back and forth. Right. I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think that's fair to the team.
I'm also not entirely certain it's fair to Bo to do that right now.
I guess.
Just because of the way it looks. I think the more you have Semien at short, the more people scratch their head and go, well, is there a message here?
Maybe there should be.
If Bo Bichette's shortstop play is the biggest thing we're talking about, then this team's in pretty good
shape. We're talking about it with the Yankees?
That's a little different.
It is?
That's different.
Gleyber Torres is good than Bo Bichette at shortstop?
Gleyber Torres has been around a little longer than Bo Bichette, hasn't he? Been around about a year longer.
I don't.
I
always thought you could either play a position or you couldn't.
Well, you know, it may be less of an issue with the Yankees too than it is with the Blue Jays.
Maybe.
Interesting about this series, we're going to see Gerrit Cole tonight. We're going to see Corey Kluber, and then we're going to see Jameson Taillon. So those of us look, it's just one series. But those of us who looked at the Yankees, and I'm not as in the Yankees as a lot of other people are. First of all, they're not going to be healthy. Secondly, I think you can pitch to that lineup. And third, the starting pitching's not that great.
I think you're talking to me because I picked them to win the World Series.
A lot of people picked them to win. They're not winning the World Series, not even winning the American League. They're not one of the two best teams in the American League, with all due respect to y'all.
Know the one team is always the same team with you.
Yeah, and the White Sox are better than them.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, come on. Anyhow, all that aside, it will be interesting to see what Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon
bring flipped.
Did I say Kluber and Taillon?
It's the other way around. Taillon and Kluber. Look, they're trying to reestablish himself. You know, Kluber is a sink at first, move it all over the place, pitch a little backwards, got to hit his spots a little bit more. You know, it's lost a little bit of velocity for obvious reasons. He's going to try to get you to chase. He's going to try and get some weak contact. That's what he's all about. Taillon, do you really know what he is? It'd be interesting with Taillon when there is a lot of fans in New York and it's middle of the year and he's still there pitching. Can he handle a bad start? Can he handle a couple of bad starts in a row? That's the whole thing. It's fighting that fan thing and fighting the New York thing. Can Taillon do that? That'll be a little interesting thing. Kluber, look, he's been there and done it. He's won awards. You don't have really issue with him. If he's healthy, he's going to give you a chance. That's all you ask for. You know, their bullpen's really good. They have the second best bullpen in the American League right now. That's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about offense. They've hit 9 home runs this year. That's not a lot. You got to hit more home. What do you think? The first thing you think about the Yankees lineup is hitting homers. You know, Giancarlo Stanton's not giving them a ton. The Judge is. He's been a hit or miss. He's been better in the last couple of games, but they're going to need those guys. Gleyber Torres looks like he's taking a little defense to the offense. They got to get that sorted out. But, you know, Robbie Ray, what's he going to do? You know, it's been 23 days since competition for him. He is a max effort guy. Can he control the effort? Right? It's mechanically a little bit, too, with him, the landing foot. You know, when he's in the windup and when he's pitching out of the stretch, can he take that little pause between those two and make sure he's landing in the same spots? Big deal for him. You know, to not overstride, to not understride, to release the ball in the same area all the time, non-competitive pitches. I talk about it all the time. It's about that front foot with him. Can he do a little bit of that? And that controlling the effort. You know, the last time he pitched was against Detroit, like March 19th. The Yankees ain't Detroit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the effort. He's going to try and throw it through the catcher. Well, of course he is. But can he control a little bit of that and use the little nice thing he's developed in the changeup? You know, he had a little bit better changeup when he was starting to roll in spring training and then he got hurt. What's it going to look like? Is the changeup okay? Is the slider good enough? The curveball, look, I don't like the curveball. It's a finesse pitch. He ain't a finesse pitcher. I like the slider. You know, choke it and let it eat. Can he do a little bit of that? Is the sinker four-seamer thing that he's got working with a fastball, can he pitch into the righty? He's sort of like Steven Matz. He's got to command that righty in to that, you know, the black in. Can he do it well enough? Now, he's got better stuff, I think, than Matz does, so he can miss a little bit more on the plate than Matz can. But, well, you know, and he's probably going to get in that 40 to 60 range pitching-wise, depending on the stress of the inning and It's going to be interesting, though. He's going to have to get it right out. As soon as he's coming running on the field, he's getting LeMahieu, Stanton, and Judge. Ain't going to be easy.
Yeah. We are going to be joined by Susan Waldman, one of the voices of the Yankees, and we'll also take a look back at Saturday's big 15-1 win. Want to talk about Steven Matz in particular, what we saw from him. This is Baseball Central. We're an hour and a half away from first pitch on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Man, oh man, it's getting hard. Jesus. Arguing back and forth. Barker's all excited because the New York Yankees are taking infield.
No, that's not true. Huh. Just very odd that you see the manager standing on the field watching coaches hit fungo to middle infielders.
Maybe.
And it being the New York Yankees. It'll make you maybe a little sense of urgency. And
oh, I wondered
how they know what one of their weaknesses is. That's all.
Yeah, well, that is defense has been a Yankees weakness. I wondered if maybe it had something to do with the fact that they're playing in Dunedin, but then field, but they've played there in spring training before. You're probably right. Get a little extra work. Maybe it's the transition from the artificial turf in Tampa to where they were yesterday to the grass field here.
Just big leaguers, all kinds of excuses. I went from such a nice field to another nice one.
I'm not saying that.
How do I catch a ground ball? Wah. Ball's hit to you. Catch it. You throw it to the right base. Can't be that hard, can it?
All right. We're joined in a few minutes by Susan Waldman. We'll let you ask that question. Did you catch any of the Yankees Rays this weekend?
I did. They don't like each other.
They hate each other.
That's good. You know, I think it's a little bit more of the Yankees can't believe that the Rays can beat the Yankees consistently like they do.
I think that's what it is. I think you're right.
Yeah.
And the whole, hitting four batters yesterday was.
Montgomery was a couple of those, and it was just he was struggling from the gate.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that this is a story that we saw this last year. Of course, Aaron Boone and Kevin Cash got into it. It's just going to keep going, and it's good, clean fun. No autopsy, no foul.
I don't think players look at it that way. It's hard enough to hit as it is. Now you're not wanting to dig in, and you got 101 over your head if you're Chapman throwing at certain batters at the Rays. It's uncomfortable. You ever tried to hit 100?
Yeah.
I have. It's hard. And then you add to it that you have to worry about,
I've hit 100 in a car one time.
You did?
Yeah.
Huh. You have a car that'll go 100?
I don't know, but I did.
Hmm.
V8, baby. Le Mans V8.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day? Oh, yeah.
My first car was a Prelude. Honda Prelude. I washed that thing like every other day. It was red. Man. Keep it clean. Make sure the rims were nice.
The two first cars that fitted that and Gibby getting a black Camaro when he signed his first contract.
Yeah.
Talked about how he got a black Camaro and he had fuzzy dice hanging down from the rearview mirror and he'd drive around listening to Triumph and ZZ Top.
Smokes rolled up in his sleeve.
Or ZZ Top, as we call him. Do you know we call him ZZ Top in Canada?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Anyhow. So there you go. It is fitting to see that you had a Prelude. What color again?
Red. Oh. It's hard to keep playing red.
7 o'clock first pitch tonight. Garrett Cole and Robbie Ray, Alejandro Kirk behind the plate for the Blue Jays. He and Robbie Ray kind of had a thing going on in spring training.
It ain't kind of. They do have a thing.
I'll tell you what, and seeing as how Alejandro Kirk's not hitting much, so maybe this will be a bit
got like 10 at-bats.
I know. I'm just saying, man. Part of the reason he made this team was because he worked so well with Robbie Ray. That got the foot.
That and Danny Jansen can't hit
that. And
water
Danny
if
Jansen
he fell out of a boat.
Well,
let's
true.
Be honest.
That's true.
Okay.
Let's bring in Susan Waldman, Yankees voice on Baseball Central. Susan, thank you for joining us. Please bring some order to the proceedings here. Barker's completely out of control. And I know
you know
something.
You know what? what? You know what? We got our own catching problems. I can't deal with you. Yeah.
Hey, Susan.
Two of my favorite people. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well, man. We miss you. We wish we were seeing you in person.
Well, no one's seeing anything. I'm in my house. John is at Yankee Stadium with the engineer, and the team is in Dunedin. This is great, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Just what we've always wanted.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like the immediacy of having three people or two people in two different locations in the team someplace else. You know, even from a distance, though, Susan, you know, watching that game against the Rays yesterday, I mean, there was some nastiness, first of all, between these two teams. But I really got the sense, I know it's early, but the Yankees really wanted that game yesterday, didn't they?
Well, you know what? When the first week of the season, everyone is screaming in New York that this is a must win on April 11th. The Yankees have not been, should we put it nicely, they have not been clicking on all cylinders. You know, everything, the bullpen has been out of this world, as has Gerrit Cole. Other than Gerrit, nobody can go more than four innings. Then the bullpen has to keep going. But the hitting, which is supposed to be the great part of this team, really has not clicked. It really just has not. We're seeing a lot of strikeouts. We're seeing a lot of, if they don't hit a home run, they don't score until yesterday. And yesterday was more what I think, well, at least in the later innings, pretty much more what I thought we were going to see. I would really love to see someone put a ball in the air with less than two outs to get a runner in from third. It's been driving me crazy for years, and they just don't do it. And last night they did that, and I thought it was terrific that the newest Yankee, Ruby Odor, who was unceremoniously released from the Texas Rangers, they are paying every penny of the $27 million. The Yankees aren't paying a penny of this. And he's the one who comes in, played a great second base, and won the game in the 10th inning. I thought that was terrific. I really had to smile at that.
Okay, Susan, we can, on our screen here, we can see a TV of taking batting practice. But before this, we saw the Yankees hitting fungo to infielders. And we saw Aaron Boone standing by back with his hands crossed watching. You know, that may be a little bit because they, you know, as Jeff said, they're going from turf to this field to, you know, get hops and see how it goes. And then you start thinking about who the shortstop is for the New York Yankees and Gleyber Torres.
Yeah.
And my question for you is, what does Gleyber Torres have to do to not be the shortstop for the New York Yankees anymore?
He has to get traded to Colorado for Trevor Story.
Ooh. Mm. Really?
No. I don't know because you know how it is, Kev. You know what they do? They double down on people. They have doubled down on Gary Sanchez as a catcher. There's been three different catching coaches, mm-hmm. and now there's a fourth. And hopefully that they'll get through this. But Gleyber Torres, they keep saying he can play shortstop. He just has to. He's a little too cool for me at shortstop. I don't know if he can't do it, guys. I really don't. But what I see is that he thinks he's like Robbie Cano, but Robbie Cano was a lot more talented at second base. So, you know how Robbie had that reputation of being too cool out there? Mm-hmm. But Robbie made every play. That was just how he played. We've seen those guys. Gleyber gets in that habit. He sometimes loses focus. I don't know that he's ever going to be a good shortstop. I just don't. I don't see it. I don't know what they see. However, I don't know where he'd play if he didn't play shortstop. You know, LeMahieu is not this minute, but he is the best player on this team. So you're not going to take him off of second base. He's playing first base today, and Ruby will play second. I don't know what you do. They are into him too deep. He's still pretty young, 24 years old. They think he's going to out-hit his defense, but he has not done that this year yet. I mean, it's 2 weeks in. I don't know. I don't see any thing that tells me that they have changed their mind about him.
Susan, I was looking...
Which, you know what? Have you ever seen a team win a World Series without a really good shortstop? I haven't.
No, certainly not. Certainly not with questions about shortstop defense. We haven't seen that. I'm trying to think back to when he came up to the majors, because I remember the spring that he really burst on the scene, and I remember watching him play at Steinbrenner Field. Did the Yankees, like, to your mind, I'm not going to ask you where this went wrong because he's young, but what happened for him to go from being you know, one of the next foundational players of this team to a guy that, you know, may end up being a change of scenery guy. Like, did they move him to third base? I'm sort of trying to remember how this
down. No. He came, when he came up with the Yankees, Didi was here. He was a second baseman.
Okay.
And he was a second baseman. And he really thrived at that. Really thrived. Also, Didi was like a mentor to him, and Didi was the one person that would, that you'd see him going over to him, and I don't know what he'd tell him, because Didi would never tell us, but, you know, I'm sure he was saying, focus, focus, you need to do this, you can do this, you can focus. But Didi was the one who kept it all together with Labor, and he hit, last year, I'm going to give him a mulligan hitting, because he came into camp at first spring training in really good shape, coming off a really good year, and when they shut down, and nobody knew when they were coming back, he came back to summer camp, and he was not in good shape. He really was not. And you just never catch up, and he didn't. He has, you know, he came into camp this year really good, but I don't see the improvement in shortstop. I just don't see it. And I, you know, and he's still young enough, and they say, no, no, we're working hard, and he'll be fine. And right there, right, you're not going to move him to third. Gio Urshela is as good a third baseman as there is. So you're not going to move him there. And DJ LeMahieu is playing second. And as I said today, he's playing first. I don't know. They're going to stick with them. They're really closed mouthed. I mean, we're not going to get a, you know, all of a sudden he'll either burst on the scene again and be great, or he'll be gone. And that's, you know, that's how it works around here. But I think giving up on someone with that much talent at the age of 24 is not the way to go right now.
Susan, you've seen Gerrit Cole up close and personal. You've seen him at his best, and you've seen him, you know, when he doesn't have the slider, you know, he's a little bit human.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Blue Jays fan, what would you, if you see a certain thing from Gerrit Cole today, you're going, uh-oh, this is going to be a long night for Blue Jays hitters. What would it be?
If he comes out there and is immediately spotting that fastball at 95 where he wants, when he pitched against the Blue Jays the first time around, he was a little off. There's a big difference tonight also, guys. Higashioka's behind the plate.
Oh, right.
And the difference in ERA and they try with Sanchez, and Aaron Boone says, no, this is not a personal catcher thing, but it's already happened twice, and this is his third game. So, you know, maybe there is something today. Aaron Boone was saying, Gary Sanchez, well, you know, he played the extra inning game yesterday. He played all those games on the turf. We'll give him today off. You got to remember Gerrit Cole and Kyle Higashioka played on the same travel team in high school. So they've known each other forever. And they're terrific together. If he comes out and is spotting that fastball on both sides of the plate, and then he doesn't bring everything in until like the second inning. He wants to establish that first, which he did not do the first game that he pitched against you guys. He did it the last time, I guess it was Baltimore that he had, and he was absolutely spectacular. No walks and 13 strikeouts. But he's got 21 strikeouts, and no Yankee has done that since Al Downing, and that's a really long time ago when Al Downing did that in his first two games. You know what, Kevin, you watch someone like Gerrit Cole, I watch him on the bench. When Jordan Montgomery got taken out of the game, Gerrit Cole is sitting next to him on the bench. When Jameson Taillon came in from his first game in 2 years now, it was Gerrit Cole who met him. He is something really, really special, and it hasn't taken him long. You know, you've seen guys like that in Toronto. You've seen Halliday. You've seen guys like that. This is that, but with a different kind of personality. But if he's spotting that fastball immediately, you're in for a long night.
Hmm. Susan, really good of you to do this. Thanks so much.
That's great stuff. Thank you, Susan.
Oh, anytime. I miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss you too. Hopefully soon.
Be safe,
yeah,
Susan.
Yeah, someday.
Yeah.
Someday they'll let me back into Canada, one of my favorite places in the world.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
Yeah.
All right.
See you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's a great Susan Waldman.
She's the greatest.
Yeah, she's such a lovely lady. And that's kind of one of the highlights of having the Yankees play the Blue Jays. It's a home game. He gets to see her and the whole Yankees crew are terrific. Marley Rivera, by the way, tweeting, we talked about Aaron Hicks sitting out tonight. Aaron Hicks, formerly of the Minnesota Twins, and of course there's a lot going on in Minneapolis right now. Giancarlo Stanton has also considered joining Aaron Hicks and sitting out tonight. He was out in the field with his teammates. It was stretching, and I have not seen. He is in the lineup. He is in the lineup, but I'm just going on Twitter, and I haven't seen anything official, you know, anything that says he isn't in the lineup, but clearly there was enough of a question mark around him going out in the field that the Yankees reporters were made aware of it. So as of right now, Giancarlo Stanton is in the lineup. Aaron Hicks is sitting out tonight. And this 5 minutes ago, Ben Nicholson-Smith talking to Charlie Montoyo. No Blue Jays players or coaches have approached Charlie Montoyo about needing some time in the wake of the police shooting of Dante Wright. Montoyo says he'll be supportive should that change. So, of course, the Players Alliance was formed in reaction to what we saw this summer with the murder of George Floyd. And something to keep an eye on. Anyhow, the lineups are in. But, again, always the chance that players may decide to exercise their rights and sit out, as it appears Aaron Hicks is doing, as Giancarlo Stanton appears to be contemplating as well. So we'll keep on top of that, and we'll take a look back to that big, big outburst on Saturday. Parker, you pointed that out. I forgot about it. They didn't hit a home run. They got 15 runs without a homer.
Yep.
Steven Matz looks good.
Pete Walker.
Whew. We'll talk about that, Baseball Central, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I like that, Barkley. Like, I'm just imitating Aaron Judge's swing here. See it? Look at that. Oops.
I like the ball in and up, does he? Not even in BP, does he?
No, he doesn't. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The weather is gorgeous in Dunedin.
Yeah.
There will be no rain today as there was yesterday when it was of biblical proportions. Even God didn't want Tanner Roark to pitch yesterday. Come on.
What if he pitches tonight? Because he might. Yeah. You know, if Robbie Ray is going two innings, you know who's going to get loose, right?
Oh, you can see Tanner Roark. Get that arm going. Get the rust in there. Get the tin man the rust.
Maybe he'll throw harder.
You know, get the oil in the rust. Anyhow.
You're mean.
I am mean.
Yeah. You're like many. You think baseball's easy.
Like who?
Many. Many people. Many.
I thought he said many for a minute.
Many.
Where Dylan Brown's looking at it. Dylan's so upset he's got his mask hanging off his ear. Jesus.
It's been that way for a while.
We can do that. Come on. There's nobody in there, for God's sake.
30 Anyhow, feet from
there you it. Go. Look, there's actually people lining up to get into the game tonight. 7 o'clock first pitch. Robbie Ray against Garrett Cole. Jay's going to win this one. My guess is 5-3. I'm going out there. 5-3 for the Jays.
Put some balls in play.
15-1, they beat the Angels on Saturday. Thank God that the statute of limitations on that video review passed, because I don't really want to get into that. I still don't understand what the hell happened. It was not a great weekend for video review in baseball, by the way.
You see the Braves and Phillies game.
I did, although it was not. With all due respect, it was not the worst blowing call in video review I've seen. I mean, I saw a bunch of angles of it, and I couldn't tell.
If this curtain wasn't here, I'd throw something at you.
You thought he was safe?
I thought he was out.
I thought he was safe.
Yeah, that's why you have instant replay. That's why you have it.
I'm more upset about Michael Conforto leaning in and sucking that game away than the other thing. But anyhow, let's talk about the Jays 15-1 winners. I don't want to get into that whole slide at second base thing. I don't understand that. Steven Matz. Well, I don't understand that. Steven Matz. Early returns.
Yeah.
Early returns. But he's done everything you and other people said he had to do to be successful early, at least.
Yeah, you would think. You know, it could be a combination of, you know, he's not in New York. I think that's helping a lot. I think he's not tipping his pitches. Again, if I'm thinking of that, you know, Pete Walker thought of that and okay. has done something about it. And the only reason I say that is you can see reaction from hitters from the curveball and the changeup.
Next question.
If you're tipping a pitch, there's that reaction is going to be, I see it out of the hand. I know it's coming. I'm going to get my foot down and I'm going to keep my front shoulder in. Like I know that curveball's coming.
If you do that, you've eliminated his fastball
there
pretty
you
much.
Go. You know what's coming. So yeah. you can tell reaction of that. They're guessing. You know, they're guessing along, and his changeup. His changeup for me separates him. His curveball is, it's so-so. It's getting hammered a little bit. He needs to work on that. And sinker command's not the greatest. But I will say about his sinker now, his misses are in off the plate.
Right. You mentioned
that's,
that.
That's a great thing. What that does, too, even if he misses in there, that gets that right-handed hitter thinking, I got to open the front hip to hit this thing. And then what's he do off that? What feeds off that, Jeff? What is the greatest combination in baseball? Is the heater in and the changeup down and away with a little bit of sink. You're getting about that. I don't know. What's he get? He's getting about, let's see what it is. He's getting about a 7-mile-an-hour difference between his sinker and his changeup. It's not a lot. Mm-hmm. It's just enough. But when he establishes that sinker in and gets them thinking, there's a handful of people in baseball can hit a consistent fastball in. I'm not talking about in or third.
No,
I'm talking about in on the black,
right.
Which is where he wants to throw it. That's why you see the catcher setting up in there. And if they miss, it's missing here. Don't miss out over the plate because it's 94. 94 is back leg city. That's good hitting. But the changeup is he's thrown 48 changeups,
mm-hmm.
giving up one hit off the changeup.
Wow.
And it's... He's got 40% of his strikeouts are off the changeup. He's got 13 strikeouts. Four of those are off the changeup. Eight of them are off the sinker and one's off the breaking ball. Point is that thing gives him a lot of confidence. He can throw it behind the count. He can throw it ahead in the count. He can throw it to get back in counts. He's got a lot of confidence in when he throws it. And that combination, you know, he's still a work in progress,
mm-hmm.
but you can see it. You can see that he's gaining confidence. And pitching's all about confidence. The more he gets, the better off he's going to be.
Got a couple of minutes left. We're going to see Josh Palacios again tonight. We saw him in spring training.
It's funny you mentioned his name. Did you see what he did in the second inning?
No, I want
first
you
and
to.
Second?
No?
He bunted.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Remember the argument we had the day before
I think
that about bunting?
That's a stupid play.
Well, your team's not struggling. When they're struggling offensively, 1-9, I mean, there's a one or two guys in there that's not struggling.
He went for base hit. I'm on
bunting. Yeah, but that's not the reason why he's bunting. If I get a hit out of this, that's awesome. But at least I'm moving the runners for the guy standing
still,
on the deck circle.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's the second inning. How many runs they scored, Jeff?
You know what?
How many runs?
Be quiet. That works once.
Okay, it may only take once.
You don't want him to do it again tonight.
Look, if he comes up against Garrett Cole with first and second... You in the second inning, that means Garrett Cole ain't no good because he's hit ninth. So, good job, Jeff.
Swing, though. What do you think of Palacios? What is he?
I think he's got a decent swing. I think he's got decent bat speed. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to cut it down a little. Look, he's young. Yeah, he's 25-year-old trying to make his way. You know, he's going to face Garrett Cole. Tone it down a little. The big giant over swinging with the back leg falling across the plate, it's not going to work against him. Because then he's going to, you know what you do when you see bigger swing? You start to elevate the heater a little bit more, and you pitch a little backwards. You get him to chase, let him get himself out. Just stay within yourself. You know, don't try and overdo it. Have a little fun out of it. Make a little fun out of facing Garrett Cole. Me against you, let me see how good I am. This will tell him where he's at as a hitter.
I can see Buck and Tabby right now in the press box at TD Ballpark. We are... an hour and a bit away from first pitch. It'll be the first of three between the Jays and the Yankees. A reminder, tomorrow, Baseball Central will be back from 2 to 3. On Wednesday, we will be your pregame show from noon to 1. And we'll stick around to do Blue Jays talk on Wednesday. We'll take your calls and your texts as well. Have a great night.